Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's David Sampson, MLB analyst for CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello, David.
We're doing okay. You know, we actually are dealing with something that we're not used to here in Washington, and that is a Nationals team that is 20 games under 500. For the last decade, they've been contenders, obviously won a World Series, made the playoffs several times. And when they traded away Scherzer and Trey Turner, we kind of knew it was going to be a long year, maybe not this bad. Do you like the way that things are kind of turning for them? Do you see like a path to success?
Well, I don't think that they're exactly turning quite yet.
Okay.
I think that you're not at the bottom. When that trade was made, I think everyone in baseball realized that they were not going to re-sign Trey. They were going to save that money and see if they could re-sign Soto. I think the signing that really said to the Nationals front office that we have a problem here is when Patrick Corbin really was so terrible. And I don't want to blame it all on one player. But as you recall, when Strasburg got the extension and Corbin is around, there's a feeling Scherzer's around. You have Soto, you have Turner. There was a great feeling around the Nationals, and it sort of went south in a hurry. And I give Rizzo credit, because what I used to do as an executive for all those years is I didn't want to believe that we needed a full reboot until 2 years after we needed it. Mm-hmm. And that always cost me an extra 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that Rizzo realized that now is the time. It's complicated a little bit in your case because the team is for sale. But I guess I would say that the price of the team, when you're an owner, the price is not dependent on how good your team is. The Nationals aren't worth more if they're a 500 team now, or even if they make the World Series, believe it or not, or if they have the same record as the Reds. Mm-hmm. So from Lerner's standpoint, there's no reason to stretch unrealistically to try to get to 500 or try to squeak in as a wild card when you know that the team is not going to be good. So I think what you're seeing is the beginning of this process that will end in the sale of the team, with a new owner coming in saying, all right, we're past the worst, and now I can be a part of the increase toward another World Series championship.
What are you hearing on the sale? Are a lot of people interested from what you're hearing?
Yes, there are. Yeah. There's a lot of people interested in every team, right, because there's so few of them. And the Nationals are a franchise, not just because of one winning the World Series. I think the location, the existence of the ballpark obviously helps. There's no ballpark deal that needs to be done. You've got the ballpark. You have the issue with Masson, which to me is the longest standing, most insane issue that exists between owners right now in baseball, is the fight between the Orioles and the Nationals, which goes all the way back to when I was in Montreal and 2002, when we sold the team to baseball. That's when this issue actually started, when baseball then sold the Expos and moved them to Washington. I think that has a bigger impact. But I think also being in Washington, especially now, there is someone out there who will pay a very large ego premium to own one of the sports teams in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
What is your best guess on the Soto thing at this point? We all hope that they can re-sign him, but you know, all these guys we let go, they were supposed to, I can't even remember sort of the path the way these others went. But
Harper,
they were all,
Rendon,
they were all
Scherzer.
We can't sign Bryce because we're going to re-sign Rendon. Well, we're not going to re-sign Rendon so we can re-sign Trey Turner. You know what I mean? They keep kicking the can down the road. It never really happens. The only guy that did re-sign was Strauss, and we know that's not really worked out. I don't blame him, but it just hadn't worked out. Will they be able, do you think, how do you see the Soto thing playing out?
Well, it'll also be interesting whether the new owner will be as, have the same interesting relationship with Scott Boras that the Lerner family had. Mm-hmm. The Lerners were known around baseball, and I love Ted like a grandfather, and I have great respect for Mark and the rest of the family, but something was going on there between Boras and the Lerner family. He was their go-to team in a pinch to get one of his players done at an outrageous amount. And I'm not criticizing because I've overpaid free agents my whole career, so I get it. Mm-hmm. But there was just something about Boras and his clients and Washington. And the Strasburg deal is a significant issue that a lot of other owners look at. Because when you win a World Series, let's take Atlanta, for example, even though Boras doesn't represent Freddie, you don't want to extend past what you are comfortable with for a player just because of the emotion of winning. And that's what Boras got learned to do with Strasburg. There was no reason at that time to give him that amount of money in that extension. And it's been a crushing deal for them. So it's not like the Lerners haven't spent money. Mm. They certainly have. It just hasn't been spent as correctly as it needs to be to matter. Now, Soto is obviously represented by Boras. There's no way Soto will give the Nationals a hometown discount. There's no way he'll sign with the Nationals for a dollar less than he can get from any other team. That is clear. If Soto weren't that way, then he would fire Boras and hire a different agent. But when you have Boras, that is your mentality, that you will get the last dollar on the table. Will it be with the Nationals? It really will depend on the new owner. I think a new owner would want to sign Soto because he is someone who you'd want as the head of your franchise as you try to win the second World Series with a string back to the first World Series. So he really checks every box. But it's going to be a tremendous amount of money per year, and the new owners will have to basically say that they're going to have a huge payroll, because if not, having Soto on your team doesn't make sense.
What do you think Trey's going to get in the offseason? He's just having bomb years out in L.A. He's having a great year this year.
I was trying to remember. I was just thinking about this. Has he had a bad year?
No, but he's right? Getting better. It seems like he's getting better and better and better.
Which is what you exactly want as you're heading into free agency. Right. So can he approach, you know, 40 a year and do that, get an 8-year deal? Like, is he that kind of type of player? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. But the then question that is talked about within Major League Baseball, how many of these $40 million players can we have? And it was the same question that we asked about $5 million players and then about $10 million players. And every time the salary scale goes up, you have owners thinking, well, it's only for the elite of the elite. And then it sort of drips down and you get different types of players hitting these new levels, which is exactly what the union wants. So Trey Turner is a very interesting example, because is he better than Corey Seager? For me,
yes. Yeah.
It's not even a question.
I'll take
right?
him over Lindor, I mean, too. I'll take him over Lindor.
I would take Turner over Lindor any day and twice on Friday. So the question is, though, How do you manage that into your team when we know we've got to get pitchers? You know, if you're the Nationals, you need more pitching. So if you're thinking about a reunion with Trey Turner, having a Turner and a Soto on your team, that's really, really difficult unless you are the Yankees.
Are we 100% convinced that this sale is going to happen? Because the way they presented it is, we're just going to gauge interest. Maybe we'll just add an investor and that sort of thing. Or is that really just all BS? I mean, they're selling this team 100%.
The Lerners are selling the Nationals 100%.
Mm-hmm. And is it because, you know, the way the economy has been in the commercial real estate market, has that been a factor? Or is it simply they won a world championship and they're ready to move on?
Listen, I would say the latter. Mm-hmm. There's estate planning that's involved. There's a bunch of siblings, some of whom want to be involved, some of whom don't. There's all sorts of things that go on when a team gets sold. But I can tell you that when our owner, Jeffrey Loria, had won the World Series in 03. He wanted to win a second one. That drove him for years. And then Jose Fernandez died, and he said, that's it. I don't want to do this anymore. So something could have happened, something acute within the Lerner family that said, okay, we won one World Series. We'd love to win another. We don't see it happening soon. Ted is obviously older. Mark may not have the energy or the desire. Some of the siblings may not have the energy or the desire. And where franchise values are, listen, these are business people at the end of the day. All 30 owners are business people. And you look at the investment that the Lerner family made in D.C., and you realize that, hey, not bad.
Right. All right, so let's jump over to the American League here, Dave. Yankees are just going to run away with the, or look like they're going to win the East pretty handily. Astros, same thing in the West, just played a four-game series. Astros no-hit them over the weekend. Yankees bounced back and got a split. And right now you got three wild cards all from the East. And I'm wondering, do you think that's going to kind of hold that way with Boston, Toronto, Tampa getting in? Or do you give, you know, a Cleveland a shot? Maybe Chicago gets hot. I doubt it. But it looks right now that you possibly could get four teams from one division in the playoffs.
Not exactly what we envisioned when we talked about expanding the playoffs, right? We didn't think about having this many teams in a division make it because you want to spread the excitement around, spread the playoffs around. The thought was the teams within a division will just beat each other up enough that somebody else from another division will be able to capture that that spot in the wild card. But what you're seeing this year is there's enough really, really bad teams, and the good teams are doing really well against the bad teams, that even though those teams in the East keep playing each other all the time, if you think about it, if you split with everyone in your division but then crush everyone not in your division, you're going to be a good team.
Yep.
And so when you look at the American League, if we were in a COVID-shortened 60-game season, I would say anything could happen, and the Guardians could hang in there, and they could make it. The White Sox could have time somehow to turn it around if they jettison La Russa and somehow get lucky and get healthy. But over 162 games, it really is the better teams who can rise to the top over that period of time. And I just don't see anyone better in the American League than those four teams in the AL East. So I don't think they're going to be caught.
Are you convinced that the Yankees rotation, obviously Cole's their one. Cortez has been pitching at, you know, really well. Jordy Montgomery got hit last night, but I would think they need to add one. You could disagree. When I just match him up against the Astros, I mean, the Astros are so tough, and Verlander's just a beast. Got 9 wins, and I think their rotation might be a little deeper in a long series if they face each other in an ALCS, let's say. I think the Red Sox rotation is pretty good too, but their bullpen's a disaster. I think the Red Sox lineup's legit. I mean, I almost might take it over the Yankees just based on team batting average. They don't have the pop, but they've got, you know, they lead the majors in team batting average. But so are you convinced the Yankees right now with their rotation is solidified and they can win with it, or do you think they have to add one to go with Cole?
Hey, I like you, so I want to give you a chance to take that back, because on Nothing Personal, my show that I do every day, I said that the Yankees absolutely do not have an ace, that Gerrit Cole is not an ace, that they need to get into the pitching market. They do not have enough depth, and I got crushed. So I don't want you to get crushed. I mean, it was as though I had said that the Yankees were worse than the Cincinnati Reds. But let me tell you, I'm doing more than doubling down. The current Yankees rotation does not have a chance to make it through October. Not one chance. They will get to October, but they will not get through. And that's what I was saying. They are good enough now to make the playoffs. There's no question. But that's not what the Yankees are after. Short of a World Series appearance this year, and that is a Yankees disaster scenario. Mm-hmm. To do it, you cannot count on Severino, Montgomery, Cortez, or even Cole. You need more, which is why every free agent to be starter or every starter who's good, who's available, you're going to see the Yankees in talks, because that lineup, and you said all the pop, normally in playoff games, pitching and defense are going to win. It is very rare to have the 12-7 playoff game.
Yeah.
4-1, 5-2, 3-1. Those they're games like that. And with Chapman at the back of the bullpen, questionable at best, You're right. They've got homes and they're improving, but the Yankees need two arms on their playoff roster. That's the number that I would give you. As we sit here today toward the end of June, if they don't have two different names on their book, on their playoff roster, than what they have now, they will not win in October.
They'll probably go out and get them. So switching back over to the NL East, when do we expect to see Max and DeGrom back for the Mets, who are still holding on to a five-game lead?
Well, those are real injuries. You know, Max, he doesn't get injured much, and he admitted that this was the first time he had hurt his, I'm blanking. I want to say oblique. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that's a
problem, but I think that's right.
And then he got bit on the hand by his dog, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means or what impact, but let's talk about the oblique. We were always very careful with obliques, and the reason we were careful is you can think that your oblique is getting better, but if you pitch too soon with an oblique, you actually change your mechanics, and when you change your mechanics because you can't follow through the way you normally can, and your arm can't go at the angle that it normally does, so when you change something to adjust for an injury like that, you change your mechanics, and that can lead to elbow or shoulder problems. So the key is, even when you think you're ready with an oblique, you have to wait a little bit longer. But Scherzer will be back, but it's not going to be tomorrow. And DeGrom is DeGrom. I don't know what to tell you about him, because he's never healthy. So I agree that when he's on the bump, he is one of the best pitchers in baseball. But overall, I don't put him in the top 20. And the reason I don't is that you have to be on the mound, right? It's not just reputationally. It's not just performance when you're there. You have to try to give me if you're going to be an ace, you have to start 30 times in a year. Mm-hmm. If you're considered an ace that particular year, DeGrom's an ace. There's no question. But not in 2022, he's not. You need 30 starts to be an ace. Mm-hmm. But Mets fans are so desperate for anything, whenever DeGrom comes back, they're going to say, hey, he's not going to be tired. He's going to be fully rested. And all those other things that fans say when they're trying to rationalize sort of the state of their team or the state of a player. But they need both DeGrom and Scherzer back. But again, the Mets, the Braves are on them. And it's not a 60-game season. I think the Braves have a better team than the Mets. And over 162, that should turn out to be the case. Mm-hmm. But we'll wait to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool things happening. Hey, real quick, who do you blame for the Mariners Angels debacle?
Artie Moreno. So right. Artie Moreno does not allow. So we would not allow a manager to start a pitcher for the sole purpose of hitting a player unless we wanted to start a pitcher for the sole purpose of hitting a player. And that decision is going to go all the way up to an involved owner. And there are, in Major League Baseball, there are only 30 involved owners. That's all. It's just 30. So the owner would be told, listen, this is what we're thinking of doing. The owner would have to give the go-ahead. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Moreno gave the go-ahead. And that's why you're seeing Nevin punished for so many games, is because of what he did by starting the opener to hit Winker. And that's really what started this. So, I think it's bad for baseball. I'm talking about it on today's Nothing Personal, which I'm recording after this show with you guys. I think that baseball needs some rules like the NFL, like the NBA has, and like the NHL has. I think that people should not be able to leave the bullpen. I think people should not be able to leave their position. I was very aggressive on the competition committee about these brawls. And the reason I was aggressive, I understand fans cheer and think it's great, but they do that at hockey games when there are fights, and hockey's pretty much gotten rid of fights for the most part, certainly back from the 80s and 90s. The reason I don't want fighting is I don't want injuries. It's the number one problem for a team when they're paying players not to play. And injuries can happen. They don't often happen, but they can happen during a brawl. So why would you do it? And you can't have pitchers throwing to players on purpose. You can't have punches thrown. And enough of the bullpens running side by side into the fray and then starting to fight. I actually had a suggestion that got voted down. I wanted the bullpens to fight in the outfield. I said, if they really are so upset, I don't want my bullpen guys running in and straining the hamstring and then all of a sudden starting to fight. I said, just all the bullpens are near each other. Go right into the outfield and fight right there. We'll get stadium security out there. We'll split it up. But I don't want them running into the big kerfuffle, you know, in the diamond. Uh-huh. But I did not get the votes for that. But I think that you could see some changes made next year in terms of the rules as it relates to brawls.
All right.
All right, David. Appreciate
stuff,
the time. It's David Sampson.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
MLB analyst for CBS Sports Radio. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.